The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two already. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. Good text to show. You know the number for that. Missed the first hour. Pretty sportsy. But, you know, that's okay. There's still sports to talk about sometimes. All available on podcastarena.com. Man, I don't know if you saw a story that TMZ just retweeted.
About the boxer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
400 people watch boxer live stream his suicide on Facebook Live. And apparently, Jonathan Baza Bailey, 50 years old, told followers, "I'm going to hang myself today." And more than 400 people were watching, and they were all trying to tell Facebook about it to get them to stop. But obviously, they couldn't do it fast enough. And they did delete the video afterwards. By the time the ambulances arrived, they found him in critical condition. Despite their best efforts to revive him, he died at the scene. And in a statement, Facebook said it had sent Bailey support documents after a suicidal post. But before he started the live stream, acknowledging it could do better. I don't know what else you can do other than, you know, what are you supposed to do when somebody gets on Facebook and does that?
I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah, but that sucks. But, yeah. A lot of people want to know, did you think the Holloway decision was right?
You know, okay, I knew that was going to come up. I'll say this. I scored it 3-2 for Max, but I said this at the time, it wouldn't shock me one bit if it was 3-2 for Volkanovski, because, and everybody saw it, and that's why everybody was screaming robbery, because the first two rounds, Max got a knockdown in both those rounds. Those were the two most decisive rounds. Neither one of them was a 10-8 round. And the truth of it, the only round that was even questionable to me, like as to who won that round, was the third round. And when you watch on television, you get one angle. When you're the judges at ringside, those three judges, they don't have televisions in front of them, and they get three completely different angles of the fight. And even me watching on TV, I was like, "Ooh, that's a close round. I don't know, you know." And I thought I leaned a little bit towards Max. And I haven't rewatched the fight because I didn't care that much. But I leaned towards Max, but I also said, you know what, that might be a Volkanovski round. The problem was when you hear Michael Bisping doing play-by-play, he's convincing the audience that Max Holloway is beating the snot out of this dude. And that's just not what was happening.
And that happens sometimes, too, with commentators.
Yes. And, you know, that's... It was a really close fight, and if they had announced Max had won, there wouldn't have been any big stink to throw about it because it was a close fight, and really one round was a coin flip round, and two out of the three judges thought it was Volkanovski. I just didn't see it as like a – I get that Max is a big star. He's the fan favorite, so – you know, and I'm sure a lot of people lost money on it. Again, I picked Volkanovski by decision. Like, that was my, I actually sent that out in my $1 package, which, by the way, netted $993.
Nice.
Took my plays this week. So
for your dollar investment.
Yeah.
$993. Well, plus your own bets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to sell that short, but yeah.
But I also, on Twitter, before they even read the decision, I said, I've got it 3-2 max. Wouldn't shock me if it went the other way, though. And it did. It was a really close fight, and sometimes people don't realize it. You know what, though? I also had Andrade beating Namajunas in my package, that was a bet that I didn't win. And I didn't bitch about it. You could make a good argument that Thug Rose looked like she'd been beat over the head with a sledgehammer. And Rose tapped her with a couple jabs. You know, she put up a bunch of volume, but it's not Olympic boxing scoring. She got her ass whooped, and they still gave her the decision. Sometimes that's how MMA works, man. I don't think either fight was a robbery one way or the other. Those are just close fights, and you know, when your guy loses, it's a robbery.
Yeah.
People don't understand how the 10-9 scoring system works, the 10-must scoring system. And when there's one round that's up for debate, which that there was only one round in that fight. Like, if you think that Volkanovski won one of the first two rounds, or that Holloway won round 4 or 5, I don't even care about your opinion on the fight, because you don't understand fighting. The third round, though, I could hear an argument for both sides. The judges also saw an argument for both sides. So I don't think it was that big of a deal.
Well, I'll tell you who is a big deal. Lance Zierlein.
Oh, a huge deal.
He's huge. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good, man. Are you watching a 2017 film on tight ends, or what are you up to these days?
No, not yet. I got to get my taxes ready to roll. It's like tax time is here, so I'm having to scrape everything together and get that ready to go. So, no, but I will be looking at just 2019. Look, I don't think we're having college football this year as we know it in the fall. I'm pretty resigned to it, frankly. So if that's the case, we'll see if they play in the spring. Even if they play in the spring, even if they play in the fall, I think a lot of guys are going to opt out of football. So I'm writing guys up with 2019 tape, and I feel pretty confident that whatever I, you know, put up there is going to be maybe the final tally for a lot of these guys. That's just the way it's, you know, we're just in a funky year. John and I were talking about this morning. You know, if you move, I guess he was talking to some coaches, maybe even Dana, I don't know. But, you know, I guess it sounds great in theory to move to the spring, but the problem is this is a very physical sport. And just that, you know, the logistics of that's recruiting season is in February. That's when you're recruiting high school players. So when are high school players? Are they going to play? How is your recruiting going to happen if you're in the middle of fall, if you're in the middle of spring football? How are you going to, you know, are you going to be able to turn it around if you start in February? Because January is going to be too cold. And frankly, in some parts of the country, February will be awfully cold for football. But let's just say they started in February and you went February, March, April, and you finished by the end of April. You won't have out-of-conference games more than likely because you have to tighten up the schedule. And then your turnaround is exceptionally quick for the next season. Now, the NBA can do it because, you know, they've got enough time to start their season around Christmas time. And that's going to be something I think they consider doing anyway. And then extending their, you know, their season on the back end. But I think the logistics of moving football to the spring is a little more challenging than some people realize, especially from the physical standpoint of bouncing back and being ready.
Yeah, but can't you just move next year back as well? If you're going to go with a shortened season and do 10 games, then you'll be done in 2.5 months plus, and not every team's going to play out to the end of that third month. You just get rid of the bowl games and have a playoff, and then don't start until, you know, late September of the next year.
That's what I think you have to do. You have to move it back as much as you can. So you can. What you can't do, though, is take away those paydays for the smaller schools. So that's why I'm not sure how it's going to work, because those smaller schools, if they don't get the money from being the, you know, the cupcakes for the big teams, they're going out of business. It's already hard enough for them right now. A lot of them are going to go out of business anyway. You're going to see some teams cancel their football programs. But I think it's going to happen en masse if they don't, you know, get their money this year from coronavirus, and then the very next year they are eliminated once again. They have to have those games against Power 5 teams to make their nut. If they don't, I mean, you're going to see a lot of scholarships gone because those programs aren't going to make it.
Yeah, but I mean, the reality is if you're not having fans in the stand, you're not paying those programs. I mean, because there's no point in that. That's why those big schools do it.
Well, yeah, so I think in spring, I think if they can move the spring, fans will be in the stands. That's my my guess and my estimation is, look, there's going to be a vaccine, and if you have the vaccine, and if you're still worried about it, then don't go to games because it's still going to be filled up. And I think that makes the most sense financially, is making sure that fans are in the stands as opposed to trying to find a way to eke through a season with nobody in the stands or very few people in the stands, and you know, having to cancel an entire week of football or 2 weeks of football. I mean, I'm not even sure if that makes any sense.
Lance Erline's our guest. You can hear him on the bench in the mornings. And I guess we found out today that Russell Westbrook has the Rona, which is why he's not there. I think people speculated that Harden did. Is it better to get that now and get it out of the way?
I mean, feels like it. Feels like once you have it and you got the antibodies, you're better off. So, you know, of course, it's easy to say that. It depends on how badly you get it, because there are some athletes who have had it. I mean, we've had normal people who have had real issues with fatigue, with breathing issues afterwards. So, you know, I think that's the big concern. But then also just the ability to bounce back from it. If you get a little stronger version of it, then one thing that we've seen is the fatigue can last 5 weeks in some cases. And so, you know, it's better to have it as long as you get one of the milder versions of it. And let's hope that's what Russ has.
Do you think they're going to be able to pull this off with the whole bubble thing? And I mean, I feel really skeptical about it. I just think if you get one team with 5 or 6 cases, that's the end of it.
Yeah, so I think they got the best shot because they do have the bubble. They only have, you know, a few games to finish off the season, and then you go to the tournament format, basically. I say it's a tournament. It's, you know, it's a playoff scenario. But, I look at it this way. We talked about it a little bit. I think on the air, I know we did, John and I did off the air, the basketball tournament, which is not so clever name for a tournament that they have going on right now with you know, former players who the winner of this tournament with these different teams, it's $1 million winner take all. And somehow they're able to play every other day. They're in a bubble. It's worked. It's worked for them. But now all of a sudden, NBA players are like, Joel Embiid has a hazmat suit on, and players are already contacting Instagram models, and, you know, well, we just can't do it. The accommodations are just not good. I mean, we're seeing another group of people actually play in this exact same style of format where you have a, you know, quarantine and you're being tested, and they can get through it and push through it because they're hungry, because they're trying to make money. The NBA players, you know, if they fail at this, it's just because there weren't enough players who had the discipline to get it done. Baseball is going to be extraordinarily hard, I think, for them to finish even 60 games. But we'll see. I mean, I'm hopeful, but cynical at the same time.
I mean, when you see NBA players already, like, going to get food, and like things that should be really simple, they don't understand the basic things of it. It makes you feel like, oh, this is going to be a real problem.
Well, I mean, just, you know, how much do you care? How much do you really care? If you have to, I mean, to play at a high level, you have to have some level of discipline. You have to have the discipline to work out. You have to have the discipline to, you know, to do certain things in your life to perform at a high level. If you don't have the discipline to do what it takes to get your season finished, then just don't even – just opt out. Just opt out and let the other guys do it. I mean, if you really think that it's so hard that your accommodations are not plush enough, if you think that it's too hard to just not follow rules at all, then just opt out. No one – you don't have to play. Just get out and let the other guys have a chance who are there, who are going to be doing that, let them have a chance to play. That's how I feel about it. Like I said – soccer leagues across the world are taking place right now. Baseball leagues are playing. You have a group here in America, the basketball tournament, that they are going. If they can all go, I don't know why baseball and basketball can't, unless they just don't want to put in the effort it takes.
That's Lance Erline. Yeah, but you know what? The guys just are people are human, man. They're not gonna do what they're supposed to, and they're all bitching about accommodations and stuff, which is pretty damn tone deaf, I think.
Yep.
But yeah, that's why we're probably headed for another lockdown here. People just can't follow the damn rules.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just unbelievable that you can't get it done. But I did think Jay Williams' comments about NBA players being tone deaf. I mean, complaining about your accommodations at Disney World in the midst of a pandemic where a lot of people are struggling. It's just stupid. I mean, don't do that publicly. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think Rajon Rondo did it, and then immediately his thumb fell off. So yeah. that'll show yep. you to mess with Mickey.
Mess with Mickey. It's what happened. It's like when we're talking about pandemic, and then John's flexing on everybody with how many different holes of free golf he's going to play in the morning.
Meanwhile, it's like the Great Depression going on, and John's like, yeah, it is depressing. I only got 27 holes in today.
It feels like an amazing afternoon.
Yeah. All right. That's Lance Zierlein. Hear him on the bench 7 to 10 every Monday through Friday. Appreciate the time, Lance. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Yeah, Lance was, or John's like, let them eat cake. Oh, wait, they don't have any.
Yeah.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to the Blitz.
Rock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. I'm going to try to squeeze in a call.
Sure, why not, Fred?
B-Ray.
Hello, B-Ray.
Hey, sports fellas.
Sports.
Hey, I caught the UFC fight this past Saturday, and man, I thought the Thug Rose fight was most entertaining for sure.
Yeah, up until the last fight, it was a pretty solid card, honestly.
Really.
Paige VanZant didn't put much of a fight up, but I don't think anybody expected her to. She was, I mean, the UFC pretty much wanted to make sure she left town with an L on her record.
Yeah, she kind of felt like she was one foot out the door already.
Yep.
Definitely felt Holloway should have, you know, got the decision. I'm no expert on the scoring, but this, you know, casual viewer, I think Holloway probably won that one. But the Usman fight, man, that was hard to watch. It looked like Masvidal was just gassed from round one. It felt like the old Mayweather boxing fights. It was very hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar. And I do think Masvidal gassed out, and he was able to avoid takedowns early in the fight. And, you know, getting away from takedowns, takedown defense is tiring. It's exhausting. Being held up against a cage is exhausting. It really is. And, when you're not in the best shape that you could be in, that's the way it goes.
Texter says, I wouldn't mind AJ doing a deep dive into how the 10 scoring system works. I don't think that's a bad idea. I think there's a lot of people who don't understand how the scoring works, and that's one of the reasons why they scream, he got robbed!
Well, basically, each round is its own entity. So every 5 minutes, the judges decide who won this round. And a 10-9 score would mean that it's the fighter who they thought won the round gets 10 points. The fighter who they thought didn't win the round gets 9, unless it's like a total ass whooping, and then you can have a 10-8 round. Like if a fighter's close to being finished or is just getting dominated the entire time, doesn't put up any offense, just gets beat up, but somehow survives the round, that can be a 10-8 round. So the judges take that card, they put down 10-9 or 10-8 with whoever they think won the round. And they hand that in at the end of every round. That's something important to remember, too. Because I hear a lot of conspiracy theorists say, like, well, they just decided at the end they wanted to make sure the champ won because you got to beat the champ. And I was like, no, that's – they decide round by round who they think was winning each five-minute increment. Basically, at the end of it, you add up how many points there are, how many points each guy earned, and usually you get 10 or 9 points for each round. And that's how you got to the 48-47 scores, and two of them were for Volkanovski, one was for Holloway, and whoever has more of those scores is the winner. So it's is there a better way of doing it? Yes, and the way I liked the way that Pride, which was the old Japanese MMA organization, that kind of it at one point was really the premier MMA organization in the world, yeah, before the UFC was considered that. they basically scored it on the entire fight. The problem with that comes when someone is sliding some money under the table, right, or something like that, and you can say, "Oh, well, yeah, I think this person won," and you don't really have to make any judgment or justification, because you just look at the entire 15-minute span and say, "That was my winner." So there's not a perfect thing to it. That was the beautiful thing about the early days of the UFC was you just fought until someone got beat. And unfortunately, our wussified society won't allow – states don't allow that to be sanctioned anymore. It's human cockfighting. So you have to – the most you can fight is 25 minutes, and they've got to judge it the best way possible. Fight to the death would be the preference of most.
If he dies, he dies.
That's the way.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean judges are all good, too. There's some bad judges out there.
There's certainly some bad judges.
And there's different states have different rules, but that's kind of the basics. 979, NBA should make the players opt out if they can't follow the rules. It really isn't hard to just follow the rules if you want them to listen, hit them where it hurts, and that's their money. The Players Association would never allow that, though, and they're too the Players Association is pretty powerful in this. But yeah, guys aren't going to follow the rules, you know that, and regular people can't follow the rules. Why are basketball players? They're used to having Instagram models shipped in for their pleasure. You know, you think they're going to change that? It's like, it's just one.
Most of them have been celebrities or carried their basketball team since they were 14, 15 years old.
Right.
And they've been allowed to do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. Now they're 30 years old, and after 15 years of that, you get that in your head of, oh, I'm God, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, and we know people who didn't follow the rules. We have friends who did that. Why aren't basketball players going to do it? And especially when you see how entitled a lot of these guys are when they're bitching about the food and all this stuff, you know damn well they're not going to follow the rules. Now, some guys will.
Yeah.
But it only takes 10% of them for it to be a problem. And I could see that. Is there ever a scenario where they split 9-9?
No.
You have to have a winner in each round.
The only way draws happen is if there's a 10-8 round somewhere along the way.
Yeah. But it does happen. In boxing, you see a lot more draws.
Yeah.
Because there's more rounds. And it's basically the same thing. 713-780 ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. So kind of a funny story here that on Pro Football Talk, that want to know, will players use COVID-19 concerns to rattle opponents? And
they're going to cough on dudes or what?
Well, I don't know. They're going to cough and say, I got the Rona or something like that. And or you know how guys talk bleep. I'm sure they're going to do stuff, but you know, do you complain to a referee after the play that number 78 is coughing on me?
I mean,
you know, guys are going to do that, right?
Boy, I hope not.
You would hope not, but like we've established that people will look for any kind of edge. So yes, how do you view takedowns? How much importance do you put on those in scoring?
I mean, it depends on the round. I mean, the grappling counts less than effective striking, but it's got to count for something. And if a round's close and a guy gets a takedown, they'll usually give it to him.
All right.
And that's what you saw in those close rounds late with Volkanovski. He was making sure to get some takedowns. Even if he didn't do a lot of damage with them, it was still, 20, 30 seconds of control is a big deal in those fights. Well, in close fights.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this.
ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Texter asked, I just heard they shut down St. Arnold's because they included beer distributions in the calculation of whether the restaurant was actually a bar. Yeah, that's pretty chicken bleep, man. Yeah, that the restaurant's
a restaurant.
That indeed. And I think this whole shutdown thing is not equitable at all. And as far as restaurants can be open, but smaller bars can't. I get. Let's not have what happened at Spire and places like that. And maybe the compromise should be if your occupancy is less than 100, you can be open as long as it's 25%. I think that would be fine, but not all these things are created equal. And I just think if it just seems like the government's trying to pick and choose who can be open. And I have a problem with that. And I do realize that we need to have things reined in a little bit and people aren't following the rules. So let's punish who doesn't follow the rules. Excuse me. Yeah. I mean, and if those clubs that have hundreds of people in there, then okay, you could say, you know what, we got to shut you down. But it's not that hard. It really isn't. And now this whole little, let's shut everything down again completely. I think that's bull bleep, man. I really do. Doesn't stop Lena Hidalgo from being hot in a mask.
Did you see the latest Madden quarterback rankings? Everyone's up in arms over Deshaun Watson's quarterback ranking.
Oh, dear, really?
His Madden ranking, it's got people really upset.
Okay.
The number one quarterback in Madden, do you want to take a guess? This is a tough one.
Well, actually, it is tough because of the year Lamar Jackson had last year. But, yeah, I'm sure Patrick Mahomes is number one.
Number one with a 99 overall, which is the highest you can have.
Right.
The second best has a 97 overall.
And that's Lamar Jackson.
It is not. It's Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson is third with a 94 overall. I bet Lamar Jackson's a handful when you break out of the pocket with that dude.
Yeah.
Although over time, they've made it harder to run with quarterbacks on Madden than it used to be. Used to, if you had a fast quarterback, you could just own dudes. Number four, who's your guess? With a 93 overall, one point lower than Lamar Jackson. Now, mind you, this isn't for the long haul. This is for,
right, it's for this season.
2020.
Yeah, it's probably Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan or somebody like that.
It's Drew Brees.
Really?
Andrew Brees with a 93 overall.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little too high at this stage of his career.
Number five is the one that I had the most issue with, being a little bit too high on this list. I might have had him in the top 10, but it would have been at the bottom of the top 10. With a 90 overall, your friend Thomas Brady.
Yeah, it's too high. That's a respect 90.
It's like they didn't see him play last year.
Yeah, that's just we have to respect the greatest.
Number six on the list, with an 89 overall, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Is that fair to you?
Yeah, I think that's a fair number.
Number seven overall with an 87, Matt Ryan.
Okay. Those were the two guys, I guess. So, yeah. No worries.
One spot behind him with an 86 overall, Deshaun Watson.
Seems fair.
Boy, Twitter.com doesn't think so.
Oh, really? Well, listen, I like the guy a lot. I do think there's a contingent out there that thinks he's better than he is. And I'm a big Deshaun fan, but he's not one of the top two or three in the league right now.
Now, is he one of the top two or three in the league if you're saying for the next, 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, probably.
He's in that discussion,
yeah,
certainly.
Yeah, and I think he's got a chance to get better. But based on what we've seen, I'm not ready to declare him a 94.
Number nine is Dak Prescott. Well, 9 and 10 both have 84. Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. I feel like Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson, honestly, and this is going to make people mad here locally, I think right now they're about comparable. Like on what they've accomplished.
That's not bad. It's not an insult for either guy.
I don't think it is. I mean, I don't think it is. But, you know, here, and I'm sure in Philly it's the opposite. I'm sure if I were doing a show in Philly, people would say, how can you say Deshaun's better than Carson Wentz? And now they'd probably say something racist if it were right. Philly, because that's the way Philly rolls. But here it's going to be, how can you even think Carson Wentz is on the same level as Deshaun? I think those two guys are pretty comparable, honestly. Matt Ryan and Deshaun Watson, statistically last year, were very, very similar. They're almost the exact same guy. And Matt Ryan's a couple years removed from an MVP and a Super Bowl run. So him being a notch ahead of Deshaun, I'm sure Deshaun has a higher trajectory up right now than Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan maybe has peaked or is on the downslope of his peak.
Yeah, I still think he's pretty good, though.
Oh, I do, too.
Yeah.
But I think Deshaun still could potentially get better. I think Carson Wentz could get better. The scary thing is Lamar Jackson probably will get better. Patrick Mahomes could get better. I don't know if Russell Wilson's getting better. I think
he's at his peak right now.
But the other guys on this list, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, I feel have an arrow pointing down. I feel like Aaron Rodgers' arrow is barely pointing down. It's
pointing down, though. I don't know, barely. I think we've seen some slippage.
I think Drew Brees and Tom Brady, they could be in a more rapid decline.
I think with Rodgers, it's a little more noticeable because he doesn't have talent around him much anymore. And he used to win games by himself for them. And it's a little harder for him to do. 713 asked, do you think Lamar is that much better? He was last year. And it's kind of what this is based on, right? He says Watson should be much higher than Dak. I don't know. If you look at pure numbers from last year, he should be higher than Dak, but much higher.
Like what my opinion of quarterbacks is, Lamar Jackson was so phenomenal last year. My question is, are teams going to be able to game plan and stop it? Like, I do think that that's a guy, the kind of season he had, I could see a regression. Now, do I think he's just going to fall off and not be good? No, because he's a weapon athletically that there's no one else in the NFL like him.
He's the one guy, though, that I think a nagging injury, like a tight hammy or something like that,
it almost totally takes him out of the top 10.
Changes what he is, yeah.
Yeah. I always used to say, like, the most valuable guys are, and Aaron Rodgers, when he was young, was this. Andrew Luck was this. Russell Wilson was this. They are guys who can move really well, but if they were slow, they'd still be pretty damn good.
Yeah. But they extend plays, and it's when things break down, they're able to escape it. And even like 7 yards on a 3rd and 5, when you run the ball, and Aaron Rodgers did this a lot early in his career. And I mean, just little stuff like that extends drives and frustrates defenses, and then boom, you hit him with a big one.
If Lamar Jackson ran like Tom Brady, I'm not convinced he'd be in the NFL.
That's probably fair.
I mean, that's the truth. But Lamar Jackson, just the threat of him running makes him so much of a better passer than
yeah, it does, because in the way they use him, they get him outside the pocket. Yep. He's got more room. He throws well on the run. And when he does get outside the pocket, you've got to make sure that he doesn't take off on you, because he's so damn elusive.
Because I said when he came into the league, and you were higher on him than I was, because you're kind of a Louisville honk. But admit that a little bit.
No.
Okay. Well,
I always liked the guy. I thought if he learned how to get a little more accurate with his passes,
what I saw,
and if they used him right, he could be very good in the NFL. Now, I didn't think he'd be MVP caliber.
No. What I saw of Lamar Jackson in college was a guy who was a phenomenal athlete who, like, in Madden, you know, 2019, his accuracy rating could have been, like, -4. I mean, he was missing receivers by, like, 15 yards in college. And I was like, I was wrong. The guy's obviously panned out. I thought if he was ever going to make it in the NFL, it was going to be 3 or 4 years after he got taken, because it was going to take him a long time to develop. Little did I know, the Ravens are just smarter than almost every organization, and they built their offense around him, and it's worked.
Well, and that's so much of it is, we always talk about this, where you wind up. If he had been drafted by the Browns, he wouldn't be Lamar Jackson.
True. Now, to that credit, no one else was taking him in the first round.
Right.
There was only one team that wanted him in the first round, and that was the Ravens. That's why they traded back up into the first round to get him that late in the first round. So everybody else looked at him kind of the way I did as a project. The Ravens realized that he's such a special weapon that if he can figure anything out, he's going to be pretty good. And turns out, yeah, he's pretty damn good.
Well, the one thing in college watching him was his accuracy, but he'd throw off his back foot a lot. His footwork wasn't great. And when you get a good coaching staff, I'm sure they saw all that and said, hey, this is something we can fix. And as soon as they did, he became a much more accurate passer. And they also get him in positions to throw the ball where he's comfortable. And it's turned him into a fantastic player. And that's what good coaching staffs do. And they did it pretty quickly, too. So, Ashok says Deshaun himself reacted like that was too low for him. Yeah, players always think, unless they're a 99, every player in the NFL
thinks they should have been higher.
Thinks their rating should have been higher. And it's amazing how much these guys care. And Hockey Dan said people were losing their mind that Watson is below Matt Ryan. Again, based on last year, pretty close. But again, I think a little more of Watson than a lot of people. So I would have had his score a little bit higher, but I don't have a real problem with anybody that's ahead of him right now on there. Maybe Drew Brees and Brady just on age, but it's a game. And they're going to show respect to the legends.
Yeah.
That's always going to happen. Brady could have a 1,500-yard season and play the whole year, and next year he'll still be an 80-something.
Well, and Drew Brees, I mean, mind you, Drew Brees missed, what, 5 games last year with injury? So he missed quite a bit of time. But when Drew Brees was playing, he looked like Drew Brees. I mean, he had, I want to say he may have had more touchdown passes in 11 games than Deshaun did all year. I'm looking that up right now. Vamping while I look that up right now. He had 27 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. Deshaun had 26 and 12 in 15 games. Drew Brees only played in 11.
Yeah.
So Drew Brees is still really good. He was just hurt last year.
And follow up from the text, I guess my point is that Watson's a better passer than Jackson, at least in my opinion.
Is.
His passing is almost, and Jackson's passing
is overall rating,
wholly dependent on getting out and being wide open to run or throw. That isn't really true. I mean, he said Watson's able to throw from the pocket so much more proficiently. They've turned Jackson into a good pocket passer because the threat of everything else gives him time in the pocket now. And
also, how often have we seen Deshaun throw from the pocket? I mean,
well, it's when they get into that game plan where he's going to take these 8-foot drops and stand in there, and basically he either gets sacked or he makes some miracle escape and throws the ball. That's how often we see him in the pocket.
There are flaws in every quarterback's game except for Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Well, they probably have flaws too, but we just don't notice
them. They do, and they have games where those flaws come out, but the difference, and this is why I keep saying about Deshaun. Deshaun shows elements of being elite. He's got to do it more consistently.
But Deshaun is like, so Carson Wentz, you could say, is in the same boat. Like, he's shown elements of being elite.
But you got to do it more consistently. Mahomes has. Jackson did last year. Russell Wilson's done it consistently. And they're going to have bad games. They're going to have games where they throw interceptions. But you eliminate those slowly over the course of your career. And he also says Lamar's like Vic coming. The thing about that, yes, he runs like Vic. They're different passers, though. Lamar Jackson has a lot more touch. And, I mean, Vic just had a cannon. And he would just, whoa, was that a word that's not supposed to be in there? Okay.
No, it's bleeped.
It wasn't bleeped. There was a word there. All right, quick break. Somebody can text me and tell me if they heard that, because I thought I did. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Late hits, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock coming up at 7 o'clock. Make sure you tune in for those guys. They're terrific. We're just having,
they're great.
Before we get to the gym of the day, we're just having an off-air conversation about quarterbacks and who might have the biggest leap this year. And I threw out between Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and who was the other one? Daniel Jones. If you put one of those guys, put all three of them as the quarterback of the Chiefs with Andy Reid, who would have the biggest year?
Josh Allen, I think
so,
sure.
Too. Yeah, I think all three of those guys take a big step this year.
If you're talking about just as a running quarterback, I think I'd rather have Josh Allen than anyone but Lamar.
Yeah.
Like, Kyler Murray had a couple more yards than Josh Allen rushing last year, but Josh Allen, like, in goal line situations, is a problem because he's a giant and he can run.
Yeah, and people forget, I mean, you look at Jones. Jones had a really good year last year.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is getting better. I mean,
just everybody thought he got drafted too high, so they just assume the guy sucks.
But Sam Darnold's a tough one to tell because, like, I mean, God, he just doesn't play with anybody who's good. And I don't think he's getting good coaching. I don't know. It's
that's why I said put him on the Chiefs. Which one would have the best year? All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
This is a very sad gem of the day. We go to San Antonio, where a 30-year-old man decided he was going to go to one of those COVID-19 parties where there was someone there who had it. And apparently a whole bunch of people went because they thought it was a hoax. And he picked up the Rona. And unfortunately, it killed him. 30 years old. The said, "I think I made a mistake," the man told a nurse. "I thought it was a hoax, but it's not."
Not wise, guys.
So even if you're young, maybe these COVID parties aren't the best idea. Just throwing that out there. The hospital shared the story because they don't think people are taking it seriously enough. Identity of the man has not been released because of privacy laws. But he attended a party by a person who already was infected. Can just a PSA here. Hey, don't do parties like that. But if you know somebody's infected, don't go around them. It's that simple. And I actually know a couple people from Facebook who aren't very old who have died from this. And I know that most people, it's just a minor thing. The vast majority of people. But if you're one of the people who get it bad, it can be really dangerous, even if you aren't an old. So... and that is your.
I've decided I'm not getting it.
Oh well, I honestly,
I'm not. I don't think I'm gonna get it anymore.
I said this all along. I feel like I've already had it.
I'm gonna ask people nicely not to give it to me.
But I also feel like if it gets me, it gets me. I mean, I grew up five miles from refineries that were dumping all kinds of stuff in the air. My body's immune to almost everything. I really believe that. But I'm certain as much traveling as I was doing, as the wife was doing internationally while this was happening and we didn't realize that it was already all over Europe, I'm pretty sure I already had it. 409, just curious, but when you talk NFL, how many texts do you get from people who are done with NFL with what all is going on? What all is going on?
You know, taking knees.
That's actually the first text about that I've seen in a while. If that's what it was about. So, I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for him. That's what he honestly gets. I'm not going to cry for somebody.
No, I'm not either. If you go to a party called a Corona party, like where you're... I can't feel bad for you. And Steven said that guy in San Antonio was a 300-pound dude. Mm. If you go to a party like that and you're not in the best of health,
yeah,
I really don't feel sorry for you.
So, my wife works in a hospital in town. They have a temporary table tent set up for the bodies because their morgue is overrun.
Ugh.
Yeah. See,
dead bodies are gross.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of dead bodies. But And somebody else brings up that they do change the ratings on these as the season goes on. So if Deshaun wants to be a 95, play like a 95.
That's facts, bro.
And somebody asked me, what do I think the Leafs have a chance in the hockey tournament? No, because they're the Leafs. I will root for them. I'll go into it as a fan, as hopeful as possible that, hey, this could be the year, and there's no asterisks because, hey, there's no asterisks on my fantasy hockey championship either.
There kind of is.
No, though. There's not. If they win it, I'm going to celebrate just like I did when I was 3 years old when they won it the last time by pooping all over the place. That's probably what I'll do. But no, I'm, you know, as a fan, I'm always going to go in thinking, yeah, it could happen, especially shorter setup here. Maybe Freddie Anderson gets hot. They could go a long way, but no, they don't play good enough defense. This will be one that, like, Tampa wins finally because it's not going to be as difficult, and then it will be an asterisk. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
I realize I've hardly heard anything about hockey.
Well, hockey was around when you were three, Fred. See, I thought I was making fun of myself enough that my favorite team hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1967. But that's okay. Yeah.
Were you alive then?
I was three.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, at least you've seen one. My favorite hockey team's never won.
Well, but it's only been around for what? How long have the Preds been in existence? 15 years?
No, longer than that.
Okay, 16?
Since, I don't know. I think they're probably going on 20 now.
Probably so.
Maybe over 20.
I don't know.
22, 1998.
Nice. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, well, I technically became a Leafs fan in 96, so I'm only 2 years longer than you on this.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was always kind of a fan, but I became a real fan that just nuts for the team at that point. All right, guess what? Are we already on to hour three?
My favorite team before the Preds was the Vancouver Canucks. Because on NHL 94, I was all about that Pavel Bure life.
Yeah.
He was a monster.
He was. All right.
And then he banged all the hot tennis players. Like, that guy was just...
Well, him and Sergei Fedorov did that too, right? Wasn't he? Which one was he dating? It's like, was he dating Anna Kournikova?
I think Pavel Bure was.
No, she was after him. Bure was... No, it was Fedorov. Yeah, you can look that up, Aaron. We can tell the people when we come back. I would be willing to bet a small child that it was Fedorov that dated Kournikova. Russian dudes get all the chicks, especially the Russian chicks. Quick break. It's the Blitz.
Bure shared a relationship with tennis star and fellow Russian Anna Kournikova.
Okay, but so did Fedorov.
Yeah, they were married.
Yeah, duh. Okay.
No, this was when she was still linked to his former teammate, so... Hmm. Bure and Kournikova were reported to have been engaged in 2000, where Bure supposedly asked her to marry him. As the story made headlines, they were both heavily followed in the media as celebrities. They both denied the engagement. Kournikova, 10 years younger than Bure, said was 18 at the time.
Oh, wow.
The following year, Kournikova and Fedorov were married in Moscow, though they soon divorced. Interesting.
Wait, and Bure, when he fell off the map, he was brilliant for just a short stretch, and then never.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so.
An ice hockey Hall of Famer?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think he's in the Pro Hockey Hall of Fame.
It's garbage. It's the best.
He was great on that game, though. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.